We're excited again. Thank you all of you for being back this afternoon, and look forward to a great opportunity as Brother Dan Gardner Jr. comes to share with us. We praise the Lord for his family. We've supported his dad since the first missions conference when I first came here, and that was back in 88. I came, and I think the first missions conference we had was the next year, 89, and he was one of the first missionaries that we had come, and we've supported him since then. So that's been quite a while, at least close to 30 years, and what a thrill. And then to see his family back then, of course, 30 years ago, you would have been 15 then. So when they came, he was about the same age as his kids are now. But you see what the Lord has done over the years. And we praise the Lord for that, and God calling him into a full-time ministry there in Japan, sharing the gospel. And we're just thrilled to have this opportunity. So I'm going to invite you to come right on up if you want to and introduce the film. And again, you might want to have your kids stand because they love to be embarrassed. Oh, come on, Cody. Man, you wore the tie, you wore the shirt, you wore the coat. Yeah, this is your opportunity to shine.
All right, I'll have my family stand. Right on cue. My kids and my wife, just such a blessing they are to me, helping in the ministry and different aspects, different areas. My wife is just a servant and loves to cook, loves to help, loves to meet needs. She's a help that way. And my kids then will jump in certain things. So I have a new presentation. You're going to be the first church that I'm showing it at. Just basically, it's a short video about kind of the church plant that we just did. So in 2001, we went as missionaries to Japan. I went back. I returned to the field after I was married, and we teamed up with my parents, and then we went to the island of Okinawa. But then on that island is the city of Okinawa City. So there's a lot of cities there. And and so we basically planted the Shinko Baptist Church together as a team in that town. And we worked together for a while. 3 years ago, we had a young man come and with his wife and become an associate pastor, if you will, or an assistant pastor. And then we began to mentor them into the role of pastor, and that will happen in maybe a few more years. But then that gave us, with him coming and working there, and of course we were taking turns, my father and I were taking turns going on furlough and running that ministry and then working together and those kinds of things. And then that gave us an opportunity to really pray and ask the Lord to lead us in, does he want us to stay there? Does he want us to try to train up new people to go out and start other churches? Does he want us to start a church? And so and that's been our desire. When we went on deputation, our goal was to plant new churches, plant churches in the country of Japan that would give the gospel and reach people with the gospel of Christ. So in 2016, we began that process of starting a new church in the city of Nago. Nago is about 45 minutes north of where the church is at, where we're at right now, and very similar to, I'm not going to say it's similar to this city, but the population there is about 40,000 people. I heard there's about 35,000 in this particular city up here in Lansing area. Is that 35 or 40,000? 125,000. All right, so oh, okay. So you got a pretty big population here, and so we're 40,000 in the city that I'm that we started a church in, and not an independent Baptist church established there. So and so we felt like the Lord wanted us to move there. So we started the lay work for that, looking for things, and that's what the video's about. I'm going to show that now, and then we'll talk a little bit more.
We'll try. tries to discourage us the most when we make a big decision or step out by faith to follow the Lord? In 2016, we felt the Lord lead us a year of searching and not finding a reasonably priced building or property. Have you ever noticed that the devil tries to discourage us the most when we make a big decision or step out by faith to follow the Lord? In 2016, we felt the Lord leading us to plant a church in the city of Nottingham. But after a year of searching and not finding a reasonably priced building or property, we began to search around and we were given an opportunity to buy a property and build our own building. Doors that were shut began to open and we could sense the Lord working, so we bought the property and began the building process. Then the problems started. Foundation company couldn't start because of heavy rains. Then the foundation was built wrong. Because of the delays, I lost my framing carpenter 1 week before he was supposed to start. I felt beaten down and discouraged. I thought God wanted us to plant a church. We began to pray and see what God would have us to do. Then I remembered Joshua. He faced some opposition. And at one time, he even had to make a statement of his faith. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," he said. This decision by faith to continue to follow God didn't just affect his family, but it would affect the course of a nation. The nation of Israel for generations and for centuries to come. We're the Gardeners, and we've been serving in Okinawa for 18 years. After starting the Shinko Baptist Church as a team with my parents in 2001, we felt the Lord's leading to start another church. We used this last term in Japan to plant and start the Seaside Baptist Church. We had no people asking us to start a church or waiting for a church to open. It was just the five of us. We had our dedication service in November 2018. We had one visitor. This visitor has continued to come. The harvest is slow here, but we made the decision. A decision that we pray will affect and influence a nation. Won't you pray with us and ask the Lord what you can do to help reach the souls of the Japanese?
Nobody fell asleep, right? I mean, this is a short kind of a presentation of us starting the church. The background is that when we went there to kind of spy out and look out to see if we could find a place to meet, I couldn't find anything that was, let's say, 900 or 1,000 square feet that was under $1,000 or $1,500 a month to rent with hardly any parking. We were praying about different things, and many of you know that for many years, my parents and I ran a camp ministry there on Okinawa. We had a piece of land, and so I don't think my dad would mind telling you that, you know, many people and churches gave towards that ministry, and we had some tremendous things happen there. But as the years kind of went on, there were some things that we just couldn't get around, and we ended up having to kind of close down the campground. And so we sold that property. We put it on the market, asked the Lord to sell it. And it stayed there for a little while, but then sold. We looked for, a piece of, place we could use to start the church. But then my dad came to me, and we were talking, and he said, "Why don't you look for a piece of property to buy?" He said, maybe we should just buy a piece of land. I told him, I haven't looked for any land because I don't have any money. And he said, we have some money set aside. We have the camp money that we got from the sale of that property. We can use that and invest that in the Lord's work. We want to keep that going. And so he allowed me to use that to buy that piece of property. And then we used that piece of property as collateral to get a small loan. I have an 1,800 square foot, two-story building that we were able to put up there, And on the top floor is an apartment, a two-bedroom apartment. And then on the bottom floor is as you can see, an auditorium, an entry area, a kitchen, and bathrooms and things. And so we can use the top floor for classes and for other things, other meetings, fellowships. And of course, we have plenty of room downstairs for that as well. And I pay basically $900 a month for that payment, and I'll pay it for 12 years, and that will actually be our property, our building, and everything. So we'll own it all, as opposed to renting something and paying the same or more for something that we end up having to, that we're not really investing in, if you will. But we believe that the Lord opened the doors for that. He gave us a great price. I bought a piece of property there for it has about 2,000 square feet, and 2,000 square feet, and I bought that piece of property for $85,000, and that was a cheap from what a lot of guys were telling me, and so we're thankful for the open doors there, and how the Lord has directed us. I pray that you, I'm asking you to pray with our family and for our ministry as we minister there. If you haven't gotten a prayer card of our family, this is they're on the back table there. They look like that. And so you say, wow, Ty really grew. No, I'm standing on a hill so that he doesn't look so tall. or is it so I don't look so short? I'm not sure. Anyways, either way. And so that's but that's our family, and you go back and pick one or two up and keep that with you or put it in your Bible. I made them thin so that they could go in something, and a devotional book or a Bible, and pray for us when you go to those things. go ahead and turn in your Bibles John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. And, you know, I when we talk about missions, when we talk about reaching the lost, what are we really talking about? What are we really focusing on? And I feel like we're focusing on making disciples, aren't we? We're focusing on telling people about Christ, asking them to put their faith and trust in Him for, yes, their salvation, but also for their lives. As Jesus came to earth and started His ministry, what did He do? He went and He recruited, if you will, but He went and He gathered and He got disciples that would follow Him. The word disciple is really, in definition, means to follow. It means to adhere to someone. It means to go after. And I believe that as a missionary, as someone who's in the ministry and as someone who preaches the gospel, that that is my should be my focus. That is what God has called me to do, is to go out and to witness, to give out the gospel for the very purpose of having disciples, not to follow me, because as Paul said, it's not about me, but it's about following Christ, because that's what, you could follow me, why? Because I'm following Christ. You could follow, our whole purpose is to have disciples or to make disciples. Not only, and so every believer, I believe, every person that is a Christian, every person that that is a child of God also is kind of called to make disciples, to put forth, to lift up Christ in a way that people would see Him and have a desire to follow Him. In the Great Commission, we know that Christ spoke to this when he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." Then He said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." You know, a lot of people that come to Okinawa, mostly military, that would be coming in and out and everything, I think sometimes they think they're at the end of the world. You know, I mean, it's a very small island, about 70 miles long. We discussed this kind of this morning in the teen class. 70 miles long. That would just be from the distance from somewhere around from here to somewhere in Grand Rapids, somewhere around there. And it's 12 miles wide at the widest point. It gets down to 2 miles and other things. But on that tiny island is 1.2 to 1.3 million people. Japan, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Japan has a problem with their population. Japan has a decreasing population. About 5 years ago, they were at about 128 million people. Right now, they're at 126. 126-some million people. And Okinawa, the prefecture of Okinawa, and then also the city of Tokyo, or the prefecture there, is the only prefectures out of 49 that had an increase in their population this last year. So they have consecutively had a decrease in population, a country that is dying off without Christ. By the year 2050, they're saying that they could be down below somewhere in the 90s, as far as the 90-some million people in the country of Japan. A very, very scary, if you will, a very, very serious trend when you're thinking about souls that are lost and dying and going out into eternity. Well, it's our job to get to reach those people with the gospel. We need churches to help and to support and to partner with us to see those people saved and accept Him and become disciples. But Jesus didn't just tell us to do that. He didn't just tell us to at the end of His life or before He went home to be to heaven make disciples, but He exemplified it, didn't He? He was an example to us, and He taught during His life that you should have disciples, you should make disciples. And you see, a disciple, as I said, is one who learns or follows or adheres to another. And Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So He was telling the disciples and those that were following and listening to Him that they should learn of Him. But He wanted them to learn what He was doing. What was Christ doing on this earth? You know, in some ways we think about, if you think and you read about what Christ did on this earth, I think that we can see that He had a love, didn't He? He showed love. I mean, that's what He did. He went into towns. He preached the gospel. He spoke the truth. The Bible says He spoke the truth in love. He loved, and so as He was teaching His disciples to love, He was showing them how they should love and what they should love. A pastor once said it this way: not all believers are disciples, but all disciples are believers. You know, we might be a believer, but you may not be someone who's trying to learn and to follow what Christ did. You may not be one of those that is trying to love on other people. And as we take the gospel, our goal is that they would see not just our love for them and not just for our love for them to see them come to Christ, but that they would see Christ's love. I'm reminded of a young boy who was in the church lobby asking his pastor about discipleship. And the pastor turned to a wall that they had and of men's pictures on the wall. And the pastor said, "These men were disciples, and many of them died in His service." And the boy looked shocked. And he looked to the pastor. And he said, "Now, was that the morning service or the afternoon service?" I think he misunderstood what was being said there. We should be willing to live as disciples, to learn of Christ, to follow Him, to give our lives for the purpose that He gave His life for, the purpose of reaching others. Yes, discipleship may cost you something, and we talked a little bit about cost this morning, didn't we? But I believe that Christ told the disciples and lived out what needed to happen or what needed to be done to be the right kind of disciple. He loved people. John chapter number 13, verse number 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know, it's the Japanese people sometimes are not very showy in their emotions. They have a facade. They have sayings in Japan about their personas, if you will, their personality and their kind of their traits. And one of their traits as a Japanese person is you have what you are in front of people, and you have what you really think back here. Now, for them to, you know, we have those words, we say those things, but they don't. We don't really have. I mean, we do the same thing in America a lot of times. I think, you know, we try to make ourselves look better or look taller. I do that sometimes. I like to stand on the curb and have somebody stand on the street, you know, and things like that. We have those things that we try to be in front of somebody, but in or the way we act in front of somebody, but in the back, when we're alone, or in the back of our minds, really, in the back of our hearts, we're thinking something totally different. And sometimes, as we minister or try to reach the Japanese people, I feel that a lot. You know, because I go out to people and I hand them a track and I try to witness to them, or I try to invite them out to services, and they say, "Oh, that's great. You're a Baptist church. Okay, great." You know, and I'll say yes, and we have services and we teach what the Bible really says. And have you ever been to church? No, I've never been to church. Do you have anything against church? No, I have nothing against church. Well, we'd like to invite you out. Okay, well, thank you very much. That's great. Yeah, I'll see you there. And we had a Christmas thing as well not too long ago. And we invited some young college students that were there in Nago, just right by the building that we're building. Across from the street is a park, and so they have there's a basketball hoop there, and some young college kids were playing basketball. And I went over there and I invited them to a Christmas activity where they could see an American-style Christmas, you know, and that has a lot of appeal to people because it's a different culture and things. And so we did that, and they said, "Yeah, we'll see you. We'll see you Friday." You know, it was a Friday night or something. And, you know, they just don't show up. They just don't show up. Now, I know they do the same thing here in America, but there sometimes it's a cultural thing as far as that, and I still have to love them, don't I? I still have to show them. I can't get upset. I can't go knocking on their door, or I can't see them in the park next time and just be like, "Hey, man, what's up? You didn't even show up. You lied," you know. And I mean, you want to do that sometimes, but you got to show them love. And Jesus Christ, he said, "Ye are my disciples if ye love one another." You see, Jesus made love a true mark of the disciple. Yes, loved in ministry, but here Jesus is talking and calling and just about to show the greatest love, the love of dying and laying down his life for the world. He's just about to do that. I believe Jesus showed us the love of the disciple. What type of love should the disciple have? I think the disciple has three loves. Number one, we should love the Lord. Love the Lord. Do you love the Lord today? And we talked about, or you probably have heard so many different messages about not just love, but about giving yourself, about what Jesus Christ did for us, what God, how God loves us. Well, you know, Jesus taught that we should love God. In Matthew 22, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." It was a commandment, really, wasn't it? He told us that we should do that. That is something that we ought to do. He commanded it, and of course, Jesus expressed the same thought, but just a little bit in the opposite, that that in John chapter 15, that if you love the world, you're not of God. You know, it's an opposite thought, that if we love the things of the world, and if we love those things, that we don't love God. A disciple of Jesus is one who loves the Father, loves God the Father, and then love the brethren. Jesus Christ showed us a love of the brethren. Jesus, in our text, he says that in verse number in our chapter here, he says in our text here, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Loving the brethren. Do you love the brethren today? And do we let that love show through in our being a disciple? 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read that passage very quickly, but I have to turn over there. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 9. He that saith he is the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and the darkness hath blinded his eyes. You see, Jesus here talks about the fact that if we love our brother, then we're walking in the light. We're doing what we're supposed to do and being the right type of disciple that someone else can follow and someone else can learn from. Loving the brother. And then we have to love the lost, don't we? We have to love the lost. I don't think there's anyone in the scriptures that Jesus really showed love more for almost than the love for the lost. Those that were lost, those that were without the family of God. God the Father certainly loved the lost. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What about Japanese? Does it say the same thing? Let's try it out. Yohane Sancho Jurok Setsu. Kami wa jitsu ni sono hitori go o atai ni natta hodo ni yo ai sareta. Sore wa miko o shinjiru mono wa hitori toshite horobiru koto dewa naku eien no inochi o motsu tame de aru. Did it say the same thing?
Yep.
Amen. I got one guy that has faith. It says the same thing. That God loved the world more than his only son. God loved the world. Do you love the world? Do you love the people around you? And do you tell them of God's love? Jesus had compassion. God loved the world because he gave his son. But Jesus also loved the lost, and he had compassion on them. It says that, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion because they were what? They were like sheep that were lost without a shepherd. He sees the fact that they're lost. He lets that move him to action, and he gave himself and gave his message and told his disciples that this is who we are trying to reach. You know, we're trying to reach the Japanese people. Sometimes it doesn't. Well, I shouldn't say sometimes. In my time there, about 18 years, I have seen two people come into the church. So they sought out the church and knocked on the door and came in, and what they said to us was, I need something. Can you help me? And so I think there was one time I was there, another time my father and I were both there. And we had opportunities then at those times to share the gospel message to that person. And that person, upon hearing it for the very first time, accepted what they heard and by faith accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. But we're talking, in my lifetime, 18 years. Or not my lifetime, but I'm saying my time as a missionary. 18 years' time. Not everybody searches out the church, I understand that. But other than that, even passing out tracts or anything else, I've never had someone I've handed a tract to that heard it for the very first time that accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It takes a while, many times, for them to accept what we're saying. They have to understand who you are, what you're trying to do, what many times they have to know all of these peripheral things before they'll kind of put their guard down. But we still have to give out the gospel. As we started the Seaside Baptist Church, I passed out about 5,000 tracts and flyers with other people over about a month or about a month to a month and a half's period of time in that city and especially around my area of the church. I had a missions team from a Japanese church up in mainland Japan that came down the day before. We were supposed to have our dedication service, and they went out and passed out flyers, invited people. It was kind of like a home missions trip, if you will. And so they came out and did that. And from those 5,000 flyers, we had one individual come to the church. I passed out, and I had another evangelistic meeting in July of this year, and just before we came home on our furlough, And so we passed out another 2,000 flyers, had another team from a different church to come down from mainland Japan. These are some of my pastor friends that are good friends of mine. These are national pastors, and they wanted to use our church plan as an opportunity to help their church people be involved in home missions, if you will. And I think that's I thought that was a great thing, and I wanted them to come down and be part of that. And so they came down and we had some activities and things planned and outreach opportunities planned, and so we did that, and we passed out another 2,000 flyers, but we had no one come on those invitations. You know, that can get a little discouraging from time to time, but I'm no stranger to that, as I've been there now 18 years and also grew up there in the country of Japan. I've passed out much, much more flyers. My father is a flyer passing out machine. We've, at times, for special meetings, we've passed out 50,000. He and I, for a month, would go out almost every day, have sections divided up. We would pass out flyers and invite people. And sometimes from those, we would have nobody. I can't say that it's rewarding to do that, but I know the reward for me is that I'm doing what God wants me to do, and I'm following Him as a disciple of His. I'm trying to show the love that He has for the lost. I'm trying to show them that they're loved and that they can have a hope in heaven. And so as we passed out, I'm going to jump back to Seaside, but as we passed out flyers, then we had one lady come, and her name is Izumi. Izumi-san, that's her first name. Izumi-san has been coming to the church since we opened the doors or had the dedication service. She came to the church too, to the service saying, you know, I really need something to change in my life, and that's why I came. I was pretty excited because the other two times that happened, that person accepted Christ right then and there. So was like, I'm going to lead this lady to the Lord, our dedication service, you know. And that's, I was all gung-ho, and I went through the scriptures, and I opened the Japanese Bible, and I showed her how to be saved. I showed her what Jesus Christ had done for her, that if she just puts her faith and trust in him, she'd be a new creature in Christ. Old things will pass away, all things will become new, and he'll change some of those things that she's struggling with in her life. And she said, I understand. Oh, so you want to pray? What do you mean, pray? Well, I mean, you know, pray to God. Well, so I had to go through and explain some more things. And I had to go through and explain some more things. And she didn't accept Christ then. But she came back the next Sunday, and she came back the next Sunday, and we continued to show her Christ's love. I continued to preach the gospel. One of the amazing things about her was that as a college student, she decided that she wanted to study abroad from Japan. And so she studied at, and don't get upset, but at the University of Minnesota. I don't know if you know, but my parents are kind of from Minnesota. And so that kind of gave us a bond there. It was really interesting. And she could speak English. And I would witness her in Japanese. I would witness her in English. She was there in Okinawa because her mother was sick. And they're originally from mainland Japan. And when we got ready to go on furlough, I explained to her what was happening, that we were going to go back for a few months and then we would return, but in our absence, I would have a missionary that would fill in for us. And she had met this missionary at the dedication service, and so she understood. But then the next week she came and she told me that she had decided now to move her mother back to mainland. And so I left Japan July 25th. On July 20th, she and her mother and her sister actually moved back to Japan. But the Sunday before that, we were all there, and she says to us, I'm sorry that I haven't become a Christian yet. But I believe I will be sometime. We gave her a hug. We told her we loved her. We told her we were praying for her. I gave her more materials as far as things that she could read on her own and tried to encourage her to just, it's about faith. You don't have to understand everything. You just have to believe that God is real and that his love for you is real. It's hard to hear those words. It's hard to sacrifice and show love to someone who seemingly doesn't want or doesn't understand what that love is for. You know, God hasn't called us necessarily to give results necessarily. I mean, we don't have to have thousands of saved every month. But he has called us to be disciples. And he has called us to love. He's called us to love the Lord. He's called us to love the brethren. And he's called us to love the lost. Part of loving the lost is, I believe, is our way of worshiping him. You know, Jesus said, and I was reminded of it even this morning as we looked at the bulletin, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Why did he say that? Well, first of all, he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. We ask you for prayer when we give out our prayer cards and things, but Jesus didn't say, pray for the laborers, did he? He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers. He wanted more laborers. He wanted more to go into the harvest. He wanted more disciples to follow. Because why? Because the harvest is plentiful. There's many people that need Christ. I pray that as we go out, and I pray that you understand that our goal is always to show God's love to the people of Japan. You say, I hear you saying, Brother Gardner, do, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to, but it's not about doing, if you understand what I'm saying. Because of Jesus Christ, it's already done. It's already done. All we have to do is share. Share that love that he has for us. We go a long way in becoming a true disciple of Jesus when we love the Lord, love the brethren, and love the lost. Will you help us love the lost? Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for your word. We thank you for the example that you gave to us in making disciples, showing the disciples and us what a true disciple should be and how we should love. I pray that we would have that love for each other, for you, and for the lost that's around us. We thank you again for all that you do and all that you have done, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.